Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sis Internet Radio. Sisters in Spirit, affectionately called Sis, is a nurturing environment for women that inspires harmony in everyday living, shares resources that empower, offers information and support that nourishes the soul, balances our mental and physical well-being, and promotes inner peace and heightened spirituality. Our vision is a world where women live consciously, harmoniously, and spiritually to positively impact our lives and the lives of those with whom we come into contact. Join us as we live life with style, grace, and of course, much joy.
Welcome to the Sis Show. We're here to help you infuse harmony into your everyday living. I'm Raisa, and I'm here with my co-host, Sky. Sky, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Raisa. How are you this evening?
I am doing very well, thank you. Glad to be here. Glad to share.
All right.
Tonight, we have Kelly Batcha with us. She is going to guide us through some self-healing by changing our eating habits to eat right for our body type and for the season. So first, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Kelly, and then we'll bring her on. Kelly is a personal nutritional consultant who resides in Macon, Georgia, but she also does phone consultations, so she is a virtual contact. She's also a former All-American swimmer from Jacksonville, Florida. She maintains an active lifestyle, doing aerobic exercise and weight training. Yet, due to some health issues, she became very interested in nutrition, vitamins, and herbal remedies. As she discovered that this was her passion, she went on to enroll in Clayton College, where she graduated with high honors with a BS degree in holistic nutrition. She's published several articles on nutrition and healthy lifestyle, and she's available for speaking engagements on a variety of health-related topics. Her experience includes lecturing at corporate educational health luncheons. And as a personal nutritional consultant, her real expertise is specialized advice in a one-on-one setting. Kelly believes in educating her clients so that they can make permanent lifestyle changes. An important part of this lifestyle change is taking clients to supermarkets and to health food stores. She teaches that real food does not need a label, unlike processed and boxed products. Her goal is to empower her clients to take charge of their health and to be good stewards of the gift God has given us. She's a distributor of Nature's Sunshine vitamins and supplements, and her website is www.mynsp.com/1957KB. So, Kelly, thank you for joining our show.
Well, thanks for having me.
We are glad to
have you. Hi, Kelly. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Can you hear me good?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
We will let Kelly start off with just telling us about detoxification and energizing, and then we'll open the lines to your questions and or comments. So,
okay.
Kelly, where would you like to start?
Well, possibly we need to probably start with the reasons that we should all detoxify. And, you know, what are some of the reasons? And you know, when we look out at our world, I mean, we can just look and see how the environment, just the air pollution alone would make us want to do that. All the stress that we're under, you know, toxic emotions have a lot to do with our health, and it also can change our metabolism. And, two, we have addictions. I mean, some of us are just addicted to food, if nothing else. And then there's junk food, of course, and et cetera. So I think everybody needs to detox at some point in their life, at some, you know, point during the year. It may be good just to do once or twice a year. Actually, wintertime, in some ways, when we're digesting our food, it keeps our bodies warm. So wintertime isn't really a good time to do a fast as much as it is just to try to eat good. And you know, there's really better ways in the wintertime to detox.
Is it better in the winter?
Well, because our bodies use a lot of heat and energy to digest our food, so that keeps us warm. And, you know, when we're fasting, we will get weak and we will get we will lose some energy during that process, even though the body is, it really can be extremely helpful. But at the same time, you know, especially if we're in a colder climate, we need to just be aware that if we're going to do it, we need to make sure that we are at least getting a lot of minerals at the same time and vitamins so that we don't lose that. I do not recommend fasting that way in the wintertime. At least I don't do it. But I do recommend doing sweating and the exercising and those kind of things for detoxification. That is if you live way up north. I mean, you know, Atlanta on down, I guess we can do it all, you know. So
I found that to be true, Kelly, and I found over the years that I really don't like to take on that type of regimen of detoxing or fasting or, you know, things like that, and really serious, like, change of my eating habits during the winter, because I do get very, very cold. My body temperature seems to drop, and I never thought about it on a broader scale, but I know that personally that happens to me.
Right. I recently just found that out about the body heating. It actually heats itself while it digest food, and I never knew that before, which shows you that the powerful energy that the body does have during that process. And, you know, we were designed actually to go without food. I know our ancestors did, you know, when they didn't have, when their crops didn't come, or, you know, there was different reasons why our ancestors did without food. And actually, Dr. Ames, he's a scientist that has found, he's done an amazing discovery where he's found that when we're not getting enough nutrients, our organs will actually take nutrients from other organs to give to the vital
right.
organs. So, you know, we are designed to go without food, but unfortunately, if we're not replacing back the nutrients, eventually, especially if we overfast, then eventually what can happen is the body will definitely, that's when disease can set in. So, you know, we don't want to do too much of a good thing. So that's why nutritional experts usually say, let's just do this once a year, you know, maybe twice a year, or even maybe once every 3 weeks for a day, you know, or something like that. But there's so many different ways to fast, and there's so many different ways to detox. And I guess, you know, we should talk about who should and who should not detox, too. And
then we can talk about the ways of detoxing.
Absolutely. As far as who should not detox, basically, you know, I don't really think children need to detox, except maybe they should get off junk food. I mean, do you agree?
Get off sugar. It's more about cutting down the sugar than detoxing for children, right? Because they're so active,
absolutely.
There's just less need.
Absolutely. And the thing with children, you know, they definitely, they need more nutrients than adults do. I mean, they are eating all the time. They're growing all the time. And then, you know, into toddlers, into children. The thing of it is that the MSG is really the big problem in our society. And, you know, if we could just from an early age give our children really good nutritional food from an early age, there again, you know, our children, they will not need to detox, in other words. I mean, until maybe they're into their adult years, hopefully. And then the elderly, too, can't, you know, they're allowed to detox, actually. But, of course, if they're on several medications, you should always check with your doctor first. That's one thing. You know, I am not a doctor. You know, I cannot diagnose or, you know, prescribe anything, but I do educate. In other words, I can educate on nutrition. And, you know, I've seen so many people that, oh, I'd love to detox and I would love to do this and that. And I'll say, well, okay, now how many meds are you on? and they'll say, oh, you know, I'm on this one or that one. And I always tell them to go to the doctor first and just see if they're, you know, if they can be cleared so they can detox.
And a lot of times they may need to go to a different doctor than the one that they're going to, one who is informed in more holistic practices.
Absolutely.
Addicted to prescribing.
Absolutely. And see, that's another part of detoxification is that, you know, we all, especially some of us who just take the over-the-counter meds every now and then, I mean, some of that will build up, too, in the liver. And so it's good to take a break from any type of medicines. And that's why it's good to work with your doctor. There are some medications that we definitely need to take. I mean, there's certain things like diabetic medicines for, you know, diabetes, especially type 1, or anything that you've been on for a long time. But most all the other medications, if you're on them and your doctor doesn't give you an exit plan, then you can absolutely feel free to find a holistic doctor or someone that will work, you know, that will definitely work with you on that. Two, another interesting fact about the elderly or just anyone over 65 that wears dentures, if they're cleared to fast and they're going to fast, they need to keep their dentures in for that period of time. If it's a 3-day fast or a 5-day fast or a 10-day fast, they need to keep the dentures in because a lot of times their gums will shrink. And then it would be hard for them to put their dentures back in. So okay. I thought that was an interesting fact.
Interesting. Yeah, and those are expensive. So you don't want to have to purchase a new set because the old ones don't fit.
That's absolutely. Because sometimes when we do detoxify, we will feel bad for a while. And different little things will happen. We'll get rashes or we'll get, you know, headaches or nausea. And then, of course, like what I just told you, there's things like the elderly, you know, that their gums can actually shrink. But sometimes you may get worse before you get better.
I've heard that referred to as a healing crisis.
Absolutely.
That typically you do get worse before you get
better. Yes. And we've all, anybody that's ever fasted, I think we've all probably felt that. And even if you're going on like if you want to change your diet, and you go ahead and you get off all the junk food and all that, and then you try to take junk food back in, and a lot of times your body won't tolerate it again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What else?
So you're letting out all of these toxins, so it is important to make sure that you're flushing, because I, not too long ago, did a detox and didn't flush enough, and I actually got sicker. So I just want to emphasize the importance to everyone how important it is to make sure that you're flushing while you're detoxing.
Absolutely.
Maybe drinking a tea or, you know, changing your diet with more fiber or a raw diet, whatever means you go about it, it's important that you flush properly.
I think that's where we were at how to detox now.
Right. Well, the thing about how to detox is, you know, your organs are involved when you're detoxing. And, you know, you detox, your colon detoxes, your kidneys, your urinary, you know, all the digestive process. Yes, that's a way to detox. Through your skin is a huge organ. Through sweating, you're going to detox that way. And then there's the respiratory, you know, through your sinuses, you know, things come out of that sinus. But, and there's, you know, your stomach's involved. So, you know, your organs are definitely going to be exposed to all this detoxing. And so, you know, the first thing people should understand is, you know, don't ever just go on a water fast where you're just drinking water, you know. I mean, that's a nice thing to do is to flush your system out, but make sure, you know, you're doing some juicing at the same time or, you know, in between your glasses of water. Or like you said, green tea is a wonderful way to add some. There's something called theanine in green tea, and that actually boosts your immune system too, and it helps you detox, and it's a wonderful. Green tea is just it's a great substitute for coffee. I'm not a big coffee fan myself, but the green tea is really much, much healthier to do. When you're talking about detoxing, first of all, if you're eating and exercising and doing healthy things, living a healthy lifestyle and, you know, a pretty well-adjusted person, you know, you don't need to really, you know, you will detox on your own. You will actually detox on your own. But, you know, so many of us, it's just so hard, you know, if you're around the pollution or you're, you know, you've been sick even for a long time and you may have some medicines that you took in the past that need to be detoxed from your body. So, yes, there's different forms of detoxing. I really do like fasting. That's one of the things that I like to do. And I'm really not a big colon fan of the colon cleanses, but there again, there is times when they are very effective. So you're probably wondering, are you wondering why I don't like the colon cleanses? Or,
you can express it, but I just want to say that I think colon cleansing is at the end of the spectrum where you've gone beyond your body being able to do it naturally, so now you need some invasion to help you purge.
Right, right. And the thing about the colon cleansing is that there is a little bit of a risk to colon cleansing as far as, you know, there is sometimes people can rupture. Plus, you're taking all your bacteria out of the colon. And, you know, we have as many, actually more bacteria in our colon than all the cells in our body. So, you know, you don't want to be washing all that out and not, you know, putting a probiotic back in. But now the fasting, you know, the fasting has been done for centuries. There's blood purification ways of fasting too, which, you know, your blood is composed of plasma and, you know, it's got all this, the blood cells and the platelets are in there and, there's times where toxin gets in our blood and, you know, we definitely, because of the foreign objects that are in water, you know, and different things that we come in contact with, you know, it goes right into our bloodstream a lot of times. And so, and two, there's other reasons, too, to do our blood purification techniques, too, is that, you know, you may sickle cell anemia, having too much iron in your blood. So there's ways to purify your blood, and a lot of times we do that with herbs, you know, different herbs. And so that's a way that you don't even really need to fast except for maybe doing juicing and green drinks and then do some herbs.
Juicing and what else?
Juicing and the green drinks, you know, drinks, which is, you know, the thing with the blood is the chlorophyll that's in the green drinks works wonderfully as far as cleansing blood. And even eating things like spinach, you know, that has tons of chlorophyll in it. There's people like me that took their fillings out, you know, the amalgam, the dentistry.
The metal filling.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the heavy metal can hit the bloodstream. And so, it took me a while to get myself straight from when I had all my fillings taken out, and so I ended up having to detoxify for almost on and off for a couple of years, and I did it with the blood purification because that way I could still eat, you know, and get my nutrients, and then there's the chelation too. But now fasting is really a very effective way to feel better kind of right away type of thing. But you really have to be careful with it, you know, at the same time. So it's
And what type of fasting? Are you speaking strictly of juice fasting or fasting throughout? People fast in different ways. I know some people fast by going without food throughout most of the day, and a certain time in the evening they will break their fast and eat. So are you speaking, Kelly, of strictly a juice fast, or
yes,
what type of fasting do you recommend?
Yeah, actually, what the best thing to do before a fast, like I say, is to make sure that, you know, you are well enough to do it, okay? And then, you know, you can kind of get yourself ready for it as far as maybe go with just a couple meals and a juice or a tea type of meal for the first couple of days, and then just kind of get down to maybe one meal a day and then do your juices for the other two meals. And then you can strictly stick with the juices and you know, you can switch them around. You can do green juice, you can do green drinks. You will do I'm a carrot juice fan myself. I mean, there are just so many benefits with carrot juice. I mean, there's 450 different antifungals and different disease ravaging things that are in this juice that'll just knock out cancer and all kinds of things that are in the body. And it truly, there's something called phycarinol in there, which is an antifungal and a mycotoxin type of substance. And then there's beta-carotene, of course. So that's why some people look orange, you know, when they're
drinking.
They'll have that little orange glow to them. But it's not toxic or anything. I mean, personally, my husband and I, we juice one day a week. And that's about all that I recommend doing if you're pretty healthy. But if you're just going to do a complete for 2 to 3 days, you can go. They say never fast longer than 10 days. And while you're fasting, though, the juices must be consumed because, you know, you will get very weak and very, very sick if you're just drinking water. And you can do green tea. The teas are really a good thing to do as well. And there's herbs.
A lot of energy from the raw foods, you know, as opposed to cooking them. The energy is kept alive.
Yes.
On our blog, we had a couple of things that help one detox and energize. And you mentioned the green and the chlorophyll. And the first thing mentioned was wheatgrass shots, often called the chlorophyll cocktail that cures. Another thing mentioned was foot detoxing, so that the positive and negative ions rebalance in the body.
Mm-hmm.
A third was ionized water, which dissolves the accumulated acids and restores the pH balance. So, you know, what other things would you suggest?
And those are all, they're effective, but they're still not going to be as effective as a juice fast will be, or the blood cleansing diet, or even a chelation type thing. But the other thing I do suggest is that during, you know, herbal teas are really good. They can be done. There's certain herbs like alfalfa and burdock and chamomile and, let's see, milk thistle. All these can help rejuvenate the liver as they go into the bloodstream. So while you're juicing, you can actually put a few of these herbs together, and there will be no side effects. I mean, these are herbs that have been studied. And everything I tell you is studied. This is not just something that is... There's the last 10 years there's been more studies done on natural remedies than all the drugs. And, you know, yes, the pharmaceuticals aren't doing the studies compared to what the universities are doing, and plus there's worldwide studies all over the world. So, you know, it's just, like I say, it's just there's so many different techniques, and it's just amazing now what people can tap into in the alternative world. So,
You mentioned chelation. Could you tell us a little bit more about chelation?
Right, the chelation. The thing with the chelation is a lot of times, have you ever heard of a vitamin C flush where, in other words, cancer patients even, they have gone up to 20,000 units a day of vitamin C? Vitamin C is a wonderful chelator, and so is distilled water. And now there is chelation therapy, which, you know, is something that you can go to a licensed person, and it's usually a doctor that will do this, but you have to find one that is licensed in chelation. And it's a chelating agent, which will get the heavy metals out of your body, which is usually cantamine, lead, and mercury. And there's iron, and usually what will happen is that they hook you up, and they will put, you know, the IVs in you, and they use a glutathione, I believe that's one of the Actually, the truth is, I am not a fan of going and getting hooked up and letting them do that to me. But I know people that have done it, and it can clean your arteries out. It can. There's something called EDTA that they put in you too, and I'm really not sure. In other words, the thing that they do at the doctor's office, I would be a little more skeptical of that than say doing some of the natural things that I just told you about before that. You know, because afterwards you're definitely going to be depleted, and then you have to put things back in, like your alfalfa and your fiber and your chromium, and you know the things that will, you know, CoQ10, and you know all the things that it will strip out of your body. But yeah, it's a way of, it does detox you though. It does detox you.
You mentioned several organs, you know, the liver for one, and many herbs that will help you with that. And what about the brain? The brain's an organ as well.
Yes, yes. And the thing about our brains is, you know, our brains are like made of fats, lipids, and oil. I mean, that's what the brain is. And water. I mean, it's a quarter of water. It's a third DHA. You know, it has fish oil is a third of our brain is fish oil, in other words. And the thing about fish oil, having enough of fish, eating fish and having fish oil, that naturally protects your brain against toxins that are going to come in. And, you know, it creates, you know, the thing with MSG and the thing, especially MSG, it can break the blood-brain barrier. And things like vitamin C, that if you'll have your body just flooded with vitamin C, you know, we're the only species that do not make our own vitamin C, us and primates and guinea pigs. I don't know why guinea pigs don't ask, but we do not make our own vitamin C. All other animals make their own vitamin C. And so, you know, the vitamin C definitely keeps you, you know, protected, definitely keeps your brain protected too. But that's basically what you have to do. You have to take these nutrients in to protect your brain, because there's really not effective ways to detoxify your brain. Your brain is not something separate from your body, so if you're doing other detoxes, naturally your brain will try to detox with it, you know what I mean, because it's part of your body. But yeah.
And one way to detox the brain is to control your thoughts better, because when you have negative thoughts coming in or garbage in, you're going to get garbage out, and those negative thoughts are going to make your body feel physically ill. So in order for you to program wellness or to revitalize or energize your body, you have to revitalize your thoughts. So change what you're thinking,
right,
and how you're feeling.
And even who you're hanging out with, you know, the toxic relationships in your life. You know, the thing with the brain, when we're fearful of things too, I mean, there's extensive studies that point out that the brain has all the synapses and the dendrites that are up there, they all kind of start withering away the more fearful we are and the more toxically connected we are to things. And fear affects about 400 different emotions in our body. And so just one little fearful thought, you know, we're messing around with our hormones, in other words. It does something with the hormones in the body. And they've actually done studies, and it's true that, you know, the calmer we are, the better we are. And, you know, there is a connection with that, and just like being prayed for, you know, having the good in our lives, they show that people heal faster when, you know, you have
positive energy coming your way. Definitely, medical studies have shown that people who are prayed for heal faster than people who are not. They've actually done tests to show that.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes. And, you know, that's the thing. You know, our bodies are a temple. And, you know, the Christian faith definitely talks about that, you know, talks about the body being a temple. And they knew things so many years ago. I mean, they knew 2,000 years ago. I mean, it's mentioned in the Bible that fungus, it was the root of a lot of disease. I mean, you know, just 100 years ago in this country, we did things a lot different than we do 100 years later medically, you know.
Yeah, because now the medical field is commercialized, and so therefore they're giving us substitutes and things that cover up rather than heal.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of it, you know, it used to be back at the turn of the centuries as the farmers, pretty much what you did for your animals, you could do for yourself. You know, some of the remedies mm-hmm. that healed the animals healed the people. And when the when science really started getting more scientific over in Europe, and then they started bringing in some of the big scientific finds and all that, things started to change from empiric medicine into allopathic medicine. And we started losing our, you know, all the things that we should be keeping on. You know, we should never have let the herbal knowledge just get lost in with the folklore, and because God has really given us herbs. You know, I mean, the universe has given us nature, right? And we have herbs, and we have ways to heal anything. The rainforest, for instance, the shaman, have you heard of the shaman healers down in the rainforest?
Mm-hmm.
They have cures for cancer down there. They do not get sick. They, when they do get sick, they've got remedies that we've never heard of down there. And, of course, that's why we have to make sure that we're keeping the rainforest alive and, you know, that we're not destroying, you know, the things in the world that are really, there are just so many wonderful things out there that we have on the earth that can heal. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got a couple of callers on the line and some people in the chat room, so if you have a question or a comment, please raise your hand, and we will open up the call to questions. I just really wanted to go back to your thoughts, because you cannot overemphasize how your toxic thoughts keep you stuck in pain or tension, depression. But if you can flip them over to a positive aspect, then you can alleviate those same conditions that those toxic thoughts will give you. For example, if you've got a pain in your shoulder, and you know it could be because of the thoughts that you're having, so you have stress accordingly. And Louise Hay, in her book, You Can Heal Your Life, she talks about wherever the area of pain or dis-ease may be, it's a result of thoughts that you're thinking. Do you have any comments on that, Kelly?
Yes, absolutely. You know, and there, the thing about your thought process, there are ways that, for instance, I like color imagery. In other words, there's color therapy is kind of a neat thing. They've actually done studies to where if you're upset and you look at the color blue, it will calm you. My dental office is all blue because my dentist, he just knows that blue is the calming color. He studied that. And, you know, and they talk about wearing red, that if you have high blood pressure, that red can make it rise when you go into a red room. But definitely just going, like, the color green and the color blue, that's why it's so good sometimes to go sit outside on a nice day and just sit there and look at the sky or, you know, look at the green around you. Because actually, they're healing colors. You know, there's... Or have you ever heard of aura imaging?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we all, believe it or not, we have energy inside of us, and this aura imaging actually taps in to show what kind of colors we have inside us. And it was so neat. I went to one of these seminars where the lady that she was an aura imaging RN. She was a nurse, and she had decided to study this. And we all sat under the little machine to see what color our bodies were internally, and it was mm-hmm. so neat. I mean, it was like mine was turquoise blue, which was like in other words, I'm a very calm, serene inside person. Even though my husband would say I get nervous sometimes, you know, especially talk shows maybe sometimes.
But
yes, but the thing of it is that when I get by him, when he stood under it, he was orange, which means he is kind of vivacious kind of person and someone that has a warmth to him. And when they actually said that when you touch a person like that, you could see when he touched me, some of his color went inside me. You could see it on the X-ray, how it went. Well, it was an imaging. It wasn't an X-ray. But it went inside me. And so we actually affect each other with our energies and our auras. I mean, we physically can do that.
Yes, that's very true. And
Well,
a lot of people are not aware of that, that we definitely take on or can transfer energy. That's why, you know, we need to be careful about how we interact with people, things like shaking hands or embracing people. That enacts a certain amount of transfer of energy as well.
Yes.
Or even just breathing in the same air, because, you know, the air that travels through your nasal passages stimulates sensory nerve linings, and so that affects your brain. And so if you're breathing this air of somebody who is negative or, you know, just spewing poison, then that's going to impact you as well.
Right. And even in the Bible, when it talks in Proverbs, it says, do not make friends with an angry man. I mean, you know, you're right. The emotions, they have a way of transferring. If you go into a hospital, especially a psychiatric unit, and there's people who are very depressed in there, that room will feel very heavy as you go in there. It's almost like that energy is just drags anyone down around it. You know, there is a spiritual aspect to being ill. There is. You know, the thing about the spirituality is that it is a huge, in other words, you have to start with that knowledge of a spiritual component whenever you are ill. And then, just like, it's like any other thought you would have, you have to add the physical into it, because absolutely, while we're on the face of the earth, this is how we're designed to live in the physical world. And yet we're spiritual energy inside our physiological, you know, body. So we are much like a home. In other words, we can have a home around us build up, but, you know, and that's a physical unit. We have to keep that home intact or we can't live in it. And it's the same way with our physical bodies. If we don't take care of the physical body, our spirit has to leave, of course. You know, we have nowhere to live. So that's why it all kind of is very much, you can't have one without the other. You just cannot.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people, you know, they come from the point of deny the body in order to get to spirituality, but that's not the way that it is, because we are physical beings, or spiritual beings even having a physical experience. But because we're having a physical experience, you have to go through the body, and the alchemy and the changes come through the body to get to the spiritual.
Right, absolutely. And when you go overseas and you see all those dying children over there, and especially missionaries that want to, you know, teach the spirituality to the children, first of all, you have to give them a bowl of food, or they could never take in, you know, the knowledge.
They can't focus in order
Absolutely. And that's kind of what I try to tell people, you know, that in America, we have everything here. You know, we have just had so much that I believe we're spoiled, I mean, to a degree. And so, you know, we don't really understand a lot of times that we take for granted, you know, our food and our different physical things that we get to have over here. And so, you know, and we're actually a very sick country. We have more depression than any other country, okay? We have more suicide. I think Scandinavia might have more teen suicide than we do. But we are a very ill country, because for one thing, we don't eat enough fish to keep the brain healthy. You know, they don't have depression over in Asia like we do. They don't have the diseases over there that we do. Now, they're starting
they
to get it. Some of that, because they have McDonald's and things. I don't want McDonald's to sue me, but they've got
the Western lifestyle, and as they adopt more of the Western lifestyle, they become iller.
Absolutely.
As a group of people.
Yeah, see, we need, you know, you need real food in your body. We were designed, you know, to have real food in our systems to function. And then, you know, with the realness that we put in, the more real we are, the more our thoughts and our spirituality will become real as well. In other words, it's just living an authentic life. It's basically, you know, what alternative living is. I mean, that's all it really is. And really, to get, you know, when you're speaking of a detox even, you know, a lot of that is like, if we didn't have all this stuff that we were putting in, there wouldn't be the need to detox as much. You know what I mean? There wouldn't be. And actually, you know, I don't know if you've heard of the hyperbaric chambers, you know, the oxygen chambers. you know, they're also a great way to detox too. And there again, the reason they work so well is because pollution definitely is another thing that, you know, 100 years ago we just didn't have that type of pollution like we do now. And there again, they've done studies. If you live within less than a mile from a busy highway, your lifespan will be 5 years shortened. You know, there's just so much stuff connected to chemicals and toxin, and a lot of it is with the Western culture. But then again, if you look over at Hong Kong and the cities that are big over in Asia, they have a lot of pollution too. But
yes, they do.
Better diets with antioxidants, and you know what it is, you know, we've got a lot of free radicals that are floating around because of the poison in us, and that's the reason we detox. And the, you know, the free radicals are the things that will go in and destroy your DNA and your genes, and you know, and that's the kind of thing that they don't seem to suffer from.
Because in addition to their diet, they are also doing moving meditation such as Tai Chi and yoga and all of that, which gets your energy moving throughout your body and releases all the negative tensions and dis-ease in your body. So it has a way to exit the body. And you had talked about movement earlier. And so, you know, you want to talk a little bit more about that, how movement can help you detox?
About exercise, absolutely. You know, you were speaking of yoga and those things, and I studied Ayurvedic medicine for a while. And, you know, the thing about the Ayurvedic, you know, that's the Indian. They have the dasha, where they have the kapha and the vita, the vata, and the pitta. You know, those are all the energy, different energy. In other words, I'm a vata, and that's a movement person. I have to move. I'm just someone that has to move. And we all have to move. But you know, there are some people that actually, you know, don't really, in other words, you know, the thing with movement is you have to, there again, you have to make sure you're healthy enough for a lot of exercise. And some people don't require the same amount of exercise as another person to get the same results, actually. And so the neat thing about the Ayurvedic is they had, you know, they knew how to deal with energy and movement, and that helped them to you know, to assimilate their, in other words, their vitamins and their minerals, everything that they take in, because they have that lifestyle of meditation that you're talking about, along with gentle movement. And it just depends on your body type, too. But with all those things together, the exercise and the movement, the gentle movements, you know, yes, definitely it's a way to I mean, you just really, you've got to be able to move to make your minerals work in your system, in other words.
And movement changes both your inner world and the outer world. So it impacts you on both levels.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the thing, I don't know if you've ever heard of the blood diet. You know, there's such a thing as eating for your blood type, too. And I'm a big proponent of that, just because, you know, a lot of times we can eat healthy foods, but we don't know why they're not working for us. And, you know, there's been a lot of studies with the blood diets, too, with Joseph Cristiano. He's a naturopath doctor, and Peter Adama, these studies have been around for over 50 years, and I mean, they really seem to work on a lot of people as far as what your blood type is. Sometimes can determine how much exercise you need compared to, and how much different kind of foods that you will need compared to another blood type. So, you know, that's another thing that I like. I like the blood diet. So, but that's a whole other topic. But, yeah, it definitely, exercise is very important, because what it does, it definitely gets your magnesium and your calcium to actually start working to make your muscles contract. And when that happens, then, you know, your body will start pumping those minerals into your muscle, which will get into your bloodstream. And, you know, exercise, if you don't exercise, you know, eating right is just not enough. If you don't move around at least a little bit, you're not going to. You won't get the same effect. So,
Kelly, would you please tell us a little bit more about your nutrition business and if you have some things that will be going on in the near future? Tell us about that as well.
Well, one of the things that I do here in Macon is I'm a personal nutritional consultant. And one of the things that we have Mercer University here, and when I wanted to get my degree, I thought, oh, this will be a great thing to do because it'll be it's a place where the doctors go. And I thought, oh, no problem. I'll just get a degree over here on nutrition at Mercer University. Well, when I went there, they said that doctors really don't need to learn about nutrition. They only need to have maybe a few hours, and that's all they needed, which really stunned me, really stunned me. And I didn't want to be a dietitian. And that's a person, you know, who does the hospital menus at the hospital. So I thought, oh, my goodness. Well, I thought, where can I go to an accredited school, a school that a doctor would go to when they want to become holistic and learn about nutrition? So I went to Clayton College, and, you know, it was a fabulous – I did this in my middle 40s, went back to college, and I thought, oh, this is great. And, I could go on and be a naturopath if I wanted to, but I'm having a good time helping people where I'm at this point, doing the consulting, and I take people shopping. And I don't really – I have an office in my home, but I have found that if I do consultations, I can either do them over the phone or I can meet them out someplace. I charge between $20, maybe $30 an hour. It's a lot more of a – I found out I don't need to charge as much since I don't have overhead of an office. And it's just much better because I can connect with people personally. And my goal is not to keep people coming back to me necessarily. Over in China, a physician, it's how many patients he cures, not how many patients he has.
Right, and that's the complete opposite here.
Right, and so for my clients, you know, I definitely want to empower them to make them know that they are their own doctor and that, yes, you can fire your doctor if you want to. I mean, a lot of people are so afraid. They're so afraid to say something to their doctors, offend their doctors. And the truth is, I mean, this is your life. This is your body. And if you have any doubt at all, you know, there are other opinions. It's always good to get second and third opinions when you are diagnosed with something. And ask your doctors, you know, ask them, you know, say, is there anything I can do naturally? And if they can't tell you, that's why people seek someone like me, is that I can actually give them alternative. I'm not going to say I know more than doctors in that field. I mean, I can't say that. I'm just saying that it's my passion to have learned about all this. And what I do is if I feel that this person needs a doctor, I refer them to doctors. I tell them of a good natural doctor they can go to as well. Mm-hmm. And I spoke at GE back in the spring. And kind of, I don't know if you saw Jamie Oliver and the Food Revolution on TV, but it was in a cafeteria, and there was 100 people there, and you know it's just amazing how much people really don't realize what's going on in the natural world, and how people really want to know. I mean, they want answers because you know they've heard things about how bad our food and our water and our air And you know, organic, you don't have to go organic with everything, but it's good to know what foods you should avoid, you know. And and also, you know, it's just good, it's good to support, you know, local farmers markets and the local health food stores.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm also an advocate too around Macon here, so.
How can, if someone wants to get in contact with you, Kelly, how can we get in contact with you?
Well, normally people call me. You know, I've had my ad and My Town Monthly magazine, and then I've had, but basically they can call me. I'm at area code 478-471-9787, and basically, you know, I deal with weight loss and nutritional advice there and how to read the food labels and develop, you know, the nutritional plans that fit their needs and help them with their weight loss, basically, and then give them guidance on nutritional supplements and lifestyle change. I mean, that's basically what I do.
Okay, we've got a caller with a question. Caller number 3, the last 4 digits of your phone number, 4491. You are on the air.
Okay.
Welcome to the Sis Show.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Hi.
Oh.
Can I
Hello?
Help?
Yes.
Can you hear
me? Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned something about shopping at the local farmer's market. And I recently had heard something about Senate Bill 510 saying that it's illegal to grow your own food and things like that. And I wanted to know how true this is, if you know anything much about that new bill.
Okay, now, are you talking about the health care plan? Is that where you think you've
yes.
heard this?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They call it Senate Bill 510-510. And
right.
I guess that must be one part of it. And I didn't know how true that was because, you know, farmers markets and people having gardens is pretty common, and I didn't know if that was real or not.
Right. See, this is the kind of stuff, and that one I have not exactly heard this one, so I'm glad you're letting me know this.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of different other things. So, you know, this is the thing. We really cannot let the organic farming go. I mean, this is where, you know, you have to you know, we're going to have to stand up to this health care bill. I mean, as far as, because for one thing, it's like Monsanto, you know, some of these, the genetically altered food companies, you know, they do want to come in and they want to control the food
yes.
that's grown. And, yes, and so, and you can go on to the internet and look up different things on Monsanto just, you know, to see exactly how, what they are doing, because they're not an honest company. But the more Americans know about this, and I'm glad you brought this up, because they
right.
do need to know that this is going on, that this can go
yeah,
on.
Yeah, this is something that just recently came to my attention, I'll say within the past 3 days.
Wow.
Caller,
you
didn't mention name, who are you, and where are you from?
My name is Brenda, and I'm from Macon, Georgia.
Okay, Brenda. Well, I'm from Macon.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's where
I'm coming into the call kind of late, so I missed what was on previously. I just came in within the past 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And you can always go back to www.blogtalkradio.com/sis-in-spirit and listen to the entire show.
Oh, okay. Good.
Also, sister, if you have access to the internet, you can Google that bill and it will come up. I'm kind of looking at part of it, and it doesn't say, from what I'm just reading, the summary. It is given the FDA regulatory authority over food production, but it says small firms and food facilities that produce less than $500,000 in sales are exempt from this. And it looks like the bill was enacted to decrease contamination and foodborne illness outbreaks in farms. So if you have access, you will be able to look at the bill in more depth.
That's wonderful. That's good to know.
Can you give me the website again that I can go on and listen to the whole show?
www.blogtalkradio.com/sis-in-spirit.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
we
you
have another
calling.
Caller.
Yes, caller number 45386, last 4 digits. You have a quick question?
Okay. Oh, 536. Hi, how's everybody? Hi, Kelly. This is Zita.
Well,
hey, Brenda.
How are you?
I think I had forwarded that email that Brenda was talking about, and that's and it is in connection to groups like Monsanto, where they are trying to actually control all levels of farming. So, and there's also a petition that's being circulated on the internet that we can go to that kind of and sign to try to protect like small farms and individual farms.
Oh, yeah.
But I wanted to tell you this has been a really, really good and informative show, and thank you, and thank you, Kelly, and thank you, Sisters in Spirit. I'm really enjoying this session here.
Well, thank you
for sharing your evening with us.
Thanks, Ada.
I recently saw some information concerning Monsanto, and it was actually on Dr. Oz, and they were talking about genetically modified organisms and genetically modified food. Monsanto is one of the greatest producers of GMO seeds. They also produce one of the largest producers of the pesticides that these GMO foods were created to be able to stand up to these pesticides. So
it's called Roundup. Uh-huh.
Right, exactly, Roundup. Yeah. So yeah. They are, you know, big out there in terms of GMO manufacturing and creating the seeds and buying up a lot of farmland. So that is something that people will probably want to keep an eye on, and in terms of, you know, writing a congressperson and things like that. But in terms of that Senate bill, do the research on it and make sure that, you know, they're not conflicting things, because what I just read in the summary seemed to be different than what the Monsanto, but that was just the summary. So do the research and read the entire bill, and do keep your eye on what's happening with the GMOs, because that is really, it's almost like they're trying to conquer the world, and they're trying to do this with genetically modified foods, and they are also trying to do this without letting the public know that you're eating genetically modified foods. Most of the stuff that's sold on store shelves now is genetically modified, but they don't want the public to know it, and most people do not know it.
Right.
And we do have a blog on our site at www.fluidmagazine.com that talks about genetically modified foods and what foods to watch out on. So check out the site, and you can find more information on that there. And we'll actually do a show on it just because it is a topic of such importance.
Right.
So for today, we want to wind down. And in our wind down, we talk about events that are coming up with Sisters in Spirit, and then we'll have a quote about the topic of the day, which is detox and energize, and just give you some more contact information for Sisters in Spirit. So, Sky, you want to talk about upcoming events?
I'll defer to you, Raisa. My throat is kind of cracking up. I don't want to bore anybody anymore with my cracks.
All right. So we have a empowerment seminar coming up, and the date is still fluctuating. We were originally looking at March, but we have decided to move it out to the May timeframe, and we're looking at May 1st. So we would love for you all to hold the date. May 1st would be a holistic and healing event where we have speakers from all different aspects of holistic wellness. So we'll be talking about nutrition, going green, healing and health, and we'd have vendors that support all of those areas as well. So looking forward to a great event there. And Kelly, do you want to give us one more summary on what you're doing and what you've got coming? Give us your contact information one more time. We've got about a minute left.
Okay.
And then we'll go to the quotes and close up.
Okay. Well, I'm located in Macon, Georgia, and people also call me on telephone consultation. So my number is 478-471-9787. And I've always said, let food be your medicine and let medicine be your food.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you tonight.
Thank you for sharing your evening with us.
Thank you.
And we are Sisters in Spirit that you've been listening to tonight, and you can reach us at www.fluidmagazine.com, or if you're in the Atlanta area, you can call 678-629-0069. And the quote that I have is, life's door, God's door, they all open when you are playful. They all become closed when you become serious. So as you think about detoxing and energizing, think about what you're thinking and be free. Have fun. Enjoy life. Sky?
That's a good one. I did find a quote, and let's see if I can get it out. The human body heals itself, and nutrition provides the resources to accomplish the task. And that's by Roger Williams, Ph.D.
Oh,
Thank you. Thank you all listeners for joining us this evening. Again, if you did not hear the whole show, please go to www.blogtalkradio.com/sis-in. And remember to infuse harmony into your everyday living. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Raisha. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Sis Internet Radio. Until the next time, enjoy the fluid flow of life by remembering to infuse harmony into your everyday living.
Hello?
Hey.
Hi.
Are you there still?